I'm very happy to speak here in Potsdam, and I'm very happy to speak again on our conference, which is becoming little by little traditional. Hope it still will be for a few years at least from now. And I will speak about essentially the papers which are cited here, mostly in collaboration with Nikolai Gromov and Pedro Vira, and one work also with my student, with them and my student, Andrei Kozak. So Sergei did a good job introducing you into TBA methods of analyzing the system, ADS-CFT, for finite operators. Of course, TBA was a great source of inspiration for us. I will rather concentrate on how to guess the functional Y system, which appeared to be the first equation for this ADS-CFT system describing finite operators. So I will try to be inspirational rather than very precise. Maybe Kolya will complete what will be imprecise, and it will be partially a lecture, partially reporting new results. So the outline. Of course, everybody probably in this audience has this motivation, which I would formulate, let's solve exactly a four-dimensional Young-Mills theory. But of course, QCD, the most important one, is difficult, so let's try n equals 4 super Young-Mills, since supersymmetry often helps. A remarkable progress due to ADS-CFT correspondence was achieved in the last more or less 12 years. And then due to integrability, we have also a remarkable breakthrough. Related to the recent discovery of asymptotic bit ansatz. Until recently, we knew, due to this asymptotic bit ansatz, only the anomalous dimensions long operator operators, asymptotically long. Now, the result I want to report, our result is to conjecture an efficient set of equations, Y system, for the spectrum of anomalous dimensions of all operators for all couplings, in planar theory, of course. My talk will be essentially devoted to generalization of ABA, that I will use this abbreviation for asymptotic bit ansatz, which was formulated in its final... louder? Uh-huh. Which was formulated in its final form in this paper, but after many efforts of many people. And then I will speak about functional Y system, which Sergei mentioned, and describe its ABA limit, the limit of long operators. And Kolya's talk will be devoted rather to integral Y system or TBA type equations, which of course are very much related. And about numerical calculation of Konishi for a wide range of couplings from weak to strong coupling regime. Okay, then here, of course, very brief introduction. I will only flash by this transparency because it will be in half of the talk, all these kinds of formulas and pictures. So we are studying two sides of duality, n equals 4 Young-Mills, the four-dimensional theory on the one hand, and on the other hand, the dual two-dimensional sigma model, which is known now by the name Mitsaev-Zeitlin superstring sigma model. So the main object in this planar theory to study is a single trace operator with all possible local fields inserted there in a gauge invariant way, of course, and picturiously along the trace, the operators are placed this way. And on the string side, we have this ADS5 times S5 background plus fermions, and the string has projections onto both spaces. And what we study on the gauge side are essentially dimensions. The basic quantity is the dimensions of operators in this conformal theory. And on the string side, it will be energies of string states with corresponding quantum numbers, similar quantum numbers. And very important thing is that on both sides we have this huge global supersymmetry, PSU 2.2/4, which is global superconformal symmetry on the gauge side, and isometry of background, at least its bosonic components are isometry of background of the background of string theory. Okay, so we're going after this delta of lambda for planar theory as functions of coupling, of course, for all couplings and essentially for all possible operators. I was speaking about asymptotic beta ansatz, where the integrability first was successfully applied, and we managed to calculate some interesting quantities like Kapp-Kasp anomaly, etc. So the idea here is based very much on so-called on the bootstrap for S matrix. Namely, we have, say, this chain, which we consider often as spin chain, with many spins looking in the same directions, which are given here by the same component of the scalar field, say phi. And then we insert, rarely in this event, we insert some operators like covariant derivatives or fermions or other components of scalar field. And then this is the operator we can... it describes a state on which the dilatation operator acts, and we can calculate the matrix of anomalous dimensions. All this was already pronounced here. And then we have to solve this theory. And the first idea is the following. Ah, yes, I should say that on the string side, we just collide corresponding excitations, say, which far away from each other look like plane waves, but then they can come to each other, scatter, and go again almost to infinity. So the system is big because we are applying this, the scattering theory. That's the whole point about asymptotic beta ansatz. And that's why we only can calculate the dimensions of sufficiently long operators here, asymptotically long operators. Then it was noticed that if we choose the vacuum here, say, as one of scalar fields, then PSU, or on the string side is the same, we choose the light cone gauge for the Green-Schwarz superstring. Then the superconformal group, PSU 2.2/4, breaks into two subgroups by the vacuum, which consists sort of from two, this non-compact group is broken into two compact groups, SU2/2. So, on the Katz-Dinkin diagram, it looks like we had first seven nodes, then we have the physical excitations in corresponding to the generator of this node, and then it breaks the symmetry onto two wings, which look like SU2/2, the Dinkin diagrams for SU2/2 algebras. Then it was suggested that, in fact, due to this breakdown of the symmetry, the S matrix also should look like the direct product of S matrices, maybe with some scalar factor, which we call non-dressing factor. And in fact, there is no good justification of this. And in the relativistic model, it also happens. I will speak about principal chiral field. The only justification is that there are not too many S matrices for, say, SU2 group or SU2 slash 2 group, and we can calculate them like it was done by Nicholas. And it appeared to be the Shastri S matrix in essential details. So probably if we want something integrable, we need to have this direct product of S matrices times some factor which where most of the dynamics is concentrated. Of course, to calculate these S matrices, we use asymptotic integrability, factorized scattering, asymptotic beta ansatz, etc., etc. And so strictly speaking, on the string side, it's valid only for long, on the gauge side for long operators and only for high charges or large energies, for example, on the string side. So this factorization will be quite important for us. Now, just to flash with this transparency again, what are short operators? Of course, Konishi, which Kolya will speak about, which we are able already to calculate the dimension of, is, say, this operator in the SL2 sector. And we should imagine the planar graphs on the gauge theory side. We should imagine sort of, again, this operator traced as a ring. And then we are we renormalize this operator by point splitting in four-dimensional space, and we get all these planar graphs, very complicated Feynman diagrams, thousands and thousands of them, which are very difficult to advance to calculate. So, thanks to great efforts, the direct calculation was done up to four loops. But a clever trick using ADS-CFT correspondence, due to these people, is to, instead of calculating so many diagrams, just to calculate a few diagrams on the string theory side for physical particles. So it's one of the diagrams. Here you should imagine instead of Z particles, it's sort of Z vacuum of the length 2 formally, and then two insertions of 2Ds physical particles. So these particles look like virtual particles and those like physical. But of course, for finite length, all virtual particles wind in all possible ways on this cylinder, which is the Wolschitz cylinder. And we should take into account literally all the fields in all orders of perturbation theory if we want really to reach L equals 2 length. Okay, so our Y system does this job and also confirms the four loop results. Not yet five, it's a matter of calculation, probably not so simple, but it's supposed to work for all operators and at any coupling lambda. Okay, now the idea of TBA, since Sergei already mentioned all this, I will just flash by this transparency and by references, more or less the historical account, how it was, what was used and how, what recently was contributed, but by various people. So the idea is that we are now on the big torus. Idea, original idea belongs to Alyosha Zamolochkov, how to calculate the finite size, the finite size corrections or even finite size partition functions in sigma model. So you can compute the partition functions in two channels. In this one, when the theory is here, it's physical, it's having length L. Then in another channel, R, which we will send to infinity to have a cylinder. This is another calculation which is called mirror calculation. And of course, for the relativistic theories, it was invented by Alyosha Zamolochkov and used many times. But In the context of ADS-CFT, the idea was proposed by Bjørn Jannik Christiansen, and then many important details about this mirror theory were understood by Sergey and Gleb, and in particular it was understood as an analytical continuation of the physical theory, which was important for us. So then string hypothesis, I don't speak much about it. Here are the references, and Sergey told about it. Then functional wise system, which he also mentioned at the end, is what I'm essentially speaking about. It was in our paper. Then this is essentially the trick of Alyosha was for the ground state. It can be generalized by introducing certain new singularities into the equations by these people. And then integral equations for TBA, excited states already, TBA type equations, integral equations for excited states for ADS-CFT were proposed in our paper, and Kolya will speak about it. Now, just to demonstrate the idea how this functional system appears in various TBA type calculations, I take my our favorite model, SU2 cross SU2 principal chiral field, which is defined by this action. You see G is a field element of SU2, then you have this trace of connection squared, and the coupling is like in ADS, like in this string theory, square root of lambda here. Then this model, of course, was solved by Zamolochikov's found the S matrix for this theory in the form of O4 model, which is equivalent. But nevertheless, the S matrix here for this theory, since we have this product of SU2 left times SU2 right symmetry corresponding to multiplications of G from the right and from the left, then S matrix appears to be also the factorized product of two S matrices, SU2 left and SU2 right, which are some standard matrices, S matrices, rational S matrices, U plus permutation, etc. And some dressing factor, which was calculated by Zamolochikovs. And say for general N, SUN, principal chiral field, also Wigman Polyakov calculated everything, including many things, including S matrix by Wigman. So it looks very similarly. That's why I presented this equation in the same way as in ADS-CFT, and we will compare it then. Now, since we have a matrix, we can then use the periodicity condition, which is written here, which corresponds to. Let me show just the next transparency for this purpose. So we have a few particles on the ring, on a big ring of length R, this case, because we are in the mirror theory where the length is R. And then we take one particle. We just impose the periodicity of the wave function for n particles. We take one of the particles and carry it through the system. So the current coordinate changes by R, and we just impose the periodicity of the wave function, which boils down to this expression, where to the right you have some complicated matrix with respect to physical spins. And if you diagonalize it, you get this set of beta equations. The middle equation is more or less this equation, and in order to diagonalize it, you used algebraic beta ansatz, so theta variables are the rapidities of these particles, the physical rapidities of these particles, and U's and V's are the magnon variables because we have left and right SU2 spins, and once we diagonalize it, like in Heisenberg model, we get extra two equations with extra roots on the next level in this nested beta ansatz, which correspond to the Euler, various Euler angles on the three-dimensional sphere, the excitations of various Euler angles. Okay, then if we solve this equation, which is valid only for big R, again, as a scattering theory, if we solve it, we can use thetas, n thetas, which we found, the rapidities of the particles, to calculate the energy of the state, the momentum, etc. So that's asymptotic Betansatz for SU2 principle chiral field. Now we want to use Alyosha Zamolochikov's trick and to find it, find the result at finite L, which we'll consider as inverse temperature in this trick. Then if really R goes to infinity, then we know that it's a, and the volume is big, the number of particles, say theta particles of or U magnons or V magnons is very big, then we have some infinite products, almost infinite products here, which can be either very big or very small. R, it's essentially R times M.
In R goes to.
Ah, yes, I should. It's, I'm demonstrating the length of operator. Maybe you are right, so I should. MR is like L. Sorry. So then you have to compensate these infinities by certain poles or zeros here, which means that U's go, U's can be complex and split by I, plus minus I. And you get these complexes, which complexes of roots, which join together into one bound state of magnons, which is essentially the string hypothesis, which Sergei spoke about in this particular case. So picturesly, so we have these sequences of roots, say k roots, in this string, as they say. Picturesly, we have all these particles, but at the, they have their dynamics in thetas, in rapidities, but they also have spin dynamics. And there are SU2, say, right, and SU2 left spin. Each particle carries two spins. So separately in this right spins and left spins, we can the bound states can form. And we denote the density with respect to the spectral parameter of corresponding bound states as rho with the sub, which corresponds to the number of, to k, to this k, to the number of roots in the complex, and say with the negative, so minus 2 means that in the other, in the left, so one is for the right subgroup, another for the left subgroup. So essentially we get rho n with n going from minus infinity to infinity, and rho 0 is reserved for the density of actual particles, for, of the actual rapidities. So essentially those are densities on the densities of particles with respect to the spectral parameter or rapidity. Then in the thermodynamical limit, we can take logs of these equations, rewrite them as integral equations because essentially all these products are infinite, and we get integral equations with kernels, with specific kernels, which can be calculated for all these rows. Here we have the dispersion, which sort of the mirror energy, you can say, in this relativistic theory, in this modern language. And then you have not only rows, but row bars, because it's like a fermionic system. You feel some by fermions the levels, and you have holes and particles here. So you get this system of equations. Then you use the Young and Young trick by calculating the free energy, which is the energy plus the entropy. Then the entropy is constructed for each rho n, for each type of excitations. It's just permutational entropy, just a bunch of a ratio of factorials, permutational entropy of various excitations. Then by Stirling, it appears to be, of course, this type of formula, and Then we have to minimize it with respect to all rows, because this is the free energy, it's big, the volume is big, and we can use the subtle point approximation for it. Just minimize free energy, and the result will be exact, as Young and Young taught us, for any finite temperature, which, by the way, here is L, 1 over L. The role of the temperature is played by the size, physical size already of the size which we have to fix. And with this constraint, which are better equations? So you minimize with this constraint. After quite a, I would say, long and tricky calculation, which we had in our paper on this model last year, but of course the principle was very well known. And denoting, it's important notation. You denote this ratio by yn. One should be careful. It's rho bar over rho n. It's yn for all rows but zero, and for rho zero it's inverted. Somehow it happens this way. Still, it's mysterious why all this works in the way that it gives at the end this Y system. For the SU2 case, essentially you don't have these denominators. It will be a simpler Y system. So essentially this calculation, if you generalize it to the SUN times SUN principal chiral field for any n, it will look like this functional equation, which is sort of a master equation of integrability, appears everywhere in integrable models, classical, quantum. I think everything is based on this equation, essentially, which will appear as Hirota. Now, of course, the equation itself is valid for every integrable system, but in this particular case, we can see that y's live in this band as functions of this discrete A and S, discrete parameters A and S, which look like antisymmetric and symmetric directions for the Young tableaus in the representation theory. So these y's look in this live in this plane AS, in the discrete points, in the nodes, in these white and black nodes. They are the functions of spectral parameters, say y plus, y minus, means for any function, this plus and minus will denote just the shifts by plus minus I over 2, just to spare the space. And then you have to supply, of course, this functional equation, which is too general, by certain boundary conditions. Not only you should say that it lives in the strip. Outside, the y functions are either infinity or zero. Here, infinity, actually, but just they don't enter the system. But also you have to know something about the analytical properties in U, in spectral parameter. So here we impose, it's a standard thing to do, we impose the asymptotics at large U, which corresponds more or less to large energies in this system. For large U, it behaves, the middle nodes, these black nodes, so-called momentum-carrying nodes, they have these exponential asymptotics with U. Essentially, it goes to zero because energy increases, times some constant. And all other nodes, they tend in this limit just to constants. That's why it is delta S node. Only middle nodes are exponentially small, which is a pattern also for ADS CFTs. That's why I'm speaking about here. Okay, this is for the grounds. This system works perfectly for the ground state. And, of course, the spectrum of excitations here for each node is known. This is the spectrum of physical particles of the theory, which can be understood even from this equation, like a zero mode of a certain discrete Laplace operator, which you see here. But so with this asymptotics, this system has would have unique solution if we if we impose some extra properties. For example, for the vacuum, we have to impose the property that there are no singularities like poles in the physical strip, which is in U from minus I over 2 to I over 2 for all these wave functions. But for excited states, which we want to study, we have to also give some prescription how to calculate the energies of excitation. So the standard trick, I cited the authors of this trick in some transparency, is the following. If you calculate the ground state energy, the formula following from this TBA calculation is this one, without the last term. Knowing this y zeros for middle nodes, you just calculate this integral, sum over a's, n minus 1 a's, and that will be it. This is the ground state. Then if we want to study the excited states, we have to change the analytical structure of solutions which we are looking for. Namely, we will expect some poles appearing, logarithmic poles appearing here, or namely 1 plus y0 for certain uj, shifted a little bit, is 0. Then just taking this pole into account, integrating by parts, etc., in this integral, we will pick up these terms, which look like energies of infinite spin chain. But the result is exact. So it will be essentially the sum of these terms with particular rapidities, uj. And this equation should be understood as finite size beta equation on this root uj. You have to solve at the same time the y system and this condition for the existence of zero. And then you play with the zeros to produce various states. Of course, you should understand every time what charges you excite. And essentially, here is the result of our calculations already with our more advanced method using the Destrier-De Vega type equation, which we derived from Y system with Nicolai and Pedro. Here is the spectroscopy, quite precise. It's up to 8 digits, and we can do more of a few first states. In principle, the method allows to study any state, even when magnon variables are excited, which was not done before. And for the vacuum and the mass gap, it's in accordance, these two levels, as functions of L, M times L. M is 1 here. So it's in perfect correspondence with what is known. So it's a very powerful method, Y system, and the fact that it's integrable, in fact. So now, about integrability of this Y system, classical discrete integrability. There is a simple relation of Y system with this Hirota equation, discrete Hirota equation. Just by this redefinition of Y, plugging it here, doing very simple calculations, you get this. Again, you see plus minus is the shifts with respect to spectral parameters, which implicitly is here. So you have a discrete system of three parameters, spectral parameter, this anti-symmetric direction and symmetric direction. And this equation is absolutely universal. You take KdV problem or Kp or many other integral problems, in certain variables you will have the same equation for any of other classical integral problems. And this is a discrete classical integral problem. So the quantum mechanical problem actually boiled down to some discrete classical dynamics, but you have to inject certain analyticity. Very much, very much. Unfortunately, it's not the result of my, it's not the subject, direct subject of my talk, but I will flash with the transparency how we used it to get all these nice results. This is really due to this classical integrability. Okay, so this equation we will retain in the memory. Now, this is about principal chiral field, which is a very, which is a remarkable system, because already you have the full-fledged Y system, and everything happens in this strip in the AS space. Okay, and we have this prescription to calculate the excited states from the zero Sander log, from logarithmic poles. Now, a brief crash course into Hirota and representation theory, which will be, I hope, explained in the elementary way, how to relate it to representation theory. So what is Hirota equation? Hirota equation, actually, this is from the next transparency. I should not show it here. It's just the very general formula. So take a determinant, n by n determinant of any matrix, the determinant of any n by n matrix. Just this is the, imagine that it's n square numbers here, just a square. Then Hirota equation is in fact nothing but the Jacobi relation for determinants. Namely, if you take this determinant here and multiply it by the determinant of the same matrix but with stripped upper and lower lined upper and lower left and right columns, then it's equal to, here again, you strip only one column here and one row here, et cetera, et cetera, you see. So it's this is the Jacobi relation, which is true for any set of n square numbers, essentially. Then for 2x2 matrix, you recognize your favorite formula for 2x2 determinant, of course, but this is a nice generalization, which amounts to have this Hirota equation. So here, you see, there are three variables here. There is the variable which corresponds to the size of this determinant, and then to the position of lower left corner. It can change, yes? So it can be rearranged through three parameters, A, S, and our perspectival parameter U. It's just the names here, but it's really, it happens really this way. So, okay, the next ingredient is, what are supersymmetric representations of this kind? The Young tableaus, which is here inverted, I mean, the antisymmetric direction goes upstairs and downstairs. The Young tableau looks like that. So imagine this is the Young tableau of some super representation for SLK/M algebra. Then all these Young tableaus should fit inside the so-called fat hook, as mathematicians call it. You have here the point with coordinates k and m, according to these bosonic ranks. And the Young tableaus shouldn't cross this point. They cannot go over to this area. So if they, all the representations are classified this way, then here they can go to infinities, essentially. So it's like, it reminds you, okay, if they touch this point, it's called long representation or typical. If they don't touch this point, it's a typical short representation, etc. And if you take characters, it's a good example to demonstrate what are our T functions, like these T's. If you take characters of this representation, of symmetric representation, like one row here, then the character is just a symmetric function, Schur polynomial, chi s. There exists the formula for general representation, Jacobi-Trudy formula, which is characterized by highest weights lambda. And if you take the rectangular Young tableau, you will get just Hirota equation, a simplified one, because you have chi square and not chi plus chi minus. There is no spectral parameter here. Okay, so that's how it works for characters. But now here is how it works for quantum transfer matrices, for the spin chains. You use the Bajanov-Reshetichin formula for each representation. This formula is known, which looks very much similar to this Jacobi-Trudy formula for characters, but it has already generalization for spectral parameter. And then if you take the rectangular Young tableau again, you will get Hirota for spin chain transfer matrices, which is a very good starting point for so-called analytical beta ansatz approach. You can really solve it by Backlund trick. You can restore all sets of TQ Baxter relations and even get new QQ relations as it was obtained in our paper, specific for superspin chains. Okay, so we can essentially solve it by means of integrability of this system. But now, why I'm speaking about all this? Now let's go over to ADS-CFT. So if we start from our example, SU2 principal chiral field, then essentially we have TS, only in symmetric representation, because it's a small group, along this row. So TS, transfer matrices leave, you remember that TS are related to Ys in Y system by simple formula. So here we have TS for SU2 right symmetry with positive S, and also TS for SU2 left symmetry with negative CS. And then somehow it happens, due to our TBA calculations, that if you join these two guys together, it will be the same T system, the same Hirota everywhere. It will just not notice the black node unless you speak about analytical properties. It will be just smooth Y system or T system which acts everywhere. I think it's a very important fact, and it was a very important heuristic argument for us for our Y system in ADS-CFT, that integrability works in sigma models this way. You have one single Y system for everything in spite of the fact that the symmetry is split. Okay, then the same trick for ADS-CFT, which seems to be working. We have two fat hooks, which I explained. It's just this guy, but you have only two rows or two columns here in SU2/2. So we put them together. We glue them by using these black nodes, which correspond to the bound states discovered by Nick Dory from asymptotic beta ansatz. The rest are Magnon variables in SU2/2 left or SU2/2 right. So we say that this is probably the right way to construct the Y system for this non-compact group, actually, for the non-compact sigma model. So that's why it has, and maybe it has this hidden PSU2/2/4 symmetry. It better has to have, but it's not visible yet. Okay, the Y system is absolutely the same. It's, as I said, universal equation, essentially Hirota equation. And here it is already presented in terms of various bound states, which Sergei described. What is interesting, it's natural to place the seven-node Dynkin diagram in this way here. One can justify that this is the way to do it. Okay, then analyticity conditions. You have for U going to infinity, for the similar spectral parameter, all these Ys on the wings, left and right wing, go to constants, but the middle nodes exponentially decay, although with the dispersion which differs from relativistic sigma models. And Sergei described the corresponding dispersion relations. Here it should be taken as physical dispersion relation. If notice that if L goes to infinity, L will be the length of our physical operators, like Konishi will have L equals 2 in SL2 sector or 4 in SU2. But if L goes to infinity, the case of asymptotic beta ansatz, then all the middle nodes go to 0 and the system sort of splits into two parts, and this will be asymptotic beta ansatz, in fact, which I hope I will demonstrate quickly in the next transparencies. Now, the energy of the state is measured by a very similar formula to what was in the principal chiral field. Only the dispersion relation is different. Again, I don't discuss much this, but I flash with the formulas, which are based, of course, on the, which I didn't give here, on the Zhukovsky transformation. X, U is something like X plus 1 over X. Then if you pick up some poles, so here the sum is infinite over A's. It goes over all bound states, momentum-carrying bound states. Star means that you take it in mirror, but let me readdress this details to Colas talks about mirror. There it will be important. And then if we pick up poles, we get a few terms like that by the number of magnons, which correspond to the middle node magnons, this one in in Weiser-Stahl-Dacher equation. And so, okay, this is the formulation of our, essentially here the problem is formulated. Of course, as we know, there are many, many solutions in the Weiss system, and probably this input is not enough to fix really the solutions which we need. But as we see from our attempts to solve it, say numerically, it's enough to fix, for example, these y functions in the limit L going to infinity, namely by the Eden-Beiser-Stahl-Dacher asymptotic bitansatz, even just Beiser-Stahl-Dacher without saying something about S matrix dressing factor. Then it's enough to fix completely the solution and for all lambdas and et cetera. L here is the length of the operator. This is the essentially the charge. This is the from the string theory point of view, it's just the R charge around the main circle. Yes. Okay. Then actually, the question is where do they live, our y functions? It's much more complicated than in the relativistic case. Picturally, one can say that they live on the Riemann surface, infinite with an infinite number of sheets, and with the cuts going outwards from minus 2 or 2. Essentially, it's an infinite cut going through infinity, and there is such a ladder of cuts, but various functions, y's, at least in the large L limit, have only a finite subset of these cuts. So it's quite a complicated story, and Weiss system, in spite of the fact what Sergei said, should be looking the same with appropriate definitions of all these operations, like plus minus on this Riemann surface, probably everywhere. But okay, now I want to demonstrate, as the last point here, how to restore the asymptotic bitansatz from all this. So maybe quickly. I will use this. So let's send L to infinity. We know that the asymptotics of y's in the middle nodes here, A is the number of this middle node, 1, 2, 3, etc. It goes this way. So it's exponentially small when L is big. Then we notice that we can drop the denominators because y's here are for S equals 0. So S is equal 0, it's this row, middle nodes. So we can drop the denominators. Here, of course, not, because all of them are from the middle node. And then try to solve what is left, just to invert this discrete operator, which looks like discrete Laplace operator. If you take log, it will be like discrete D'Alembert operator. And the right-hand side, these two, the product of these two terms, by Hirota equation can be calculated in terms of T functions. It's a just a direct consequence of definition and here order. You plug it here, and you get this equation. And you notice that if you regroup the terms in appropriate way, here this Laplace operator, there you will also have the action of two Laplace operators. So you can just invert at the same time Laplace, discrete Laplace operators everywhere and get for y in the middle node this answer, the product of t's from the left and from the right side. This ta1, ta minus 1. Maybe I should have kept this notation. But on the way, when you invert Laplace operators, you usually gain also zero mods normally. So zero mods look very simple here. Just the, as function u and a, they are just harmonic function. This notation means that x is the function of u minus a, I over 2, and x here is u plus a over 2. We split this zero mod into dispersion, which is naturally appearing here, and a non-trivial factor. These two transfer matrices are in this limit just the solutions of Hirota equations for spin chain, for this SU2/2 extended spin chain. So we can use here the Weiser-Staudacher expressions for T. And they are presented here essentially in short form. We introduced various Baxter functions, three types of Baxter functions. Q is the normal one, and B and R are sort of chiral and anti-chiral halves of this Q. But, so you can express the result for T11, for this node, if you speak about transfer T system. You can express it this way. And, okay, so 5 minutes, really. In 5 minutes I finish, I promise. Then we have to also to say something about phis. And here, unfortunately, we don't have yet the derivation from just from scratch from Y system, although it's possible in SU2 principal chiral field. Somehow there you don't make any assumptions. You derive this kind of zero mods just by very simple analytical properties of the system. Here we don't have yet this derivation, but I'm sure it's possible. It's a very interesting problem, how to derive all these factors related to all these x's in Weiser-Staudacher equations just by imposing simple analyticity properties on your Y system. I'm sure it's possible. Okay, and then you have these finite size beta equations for the middle node roots, for essentially for this node. But in the large limit, of course, it should boil down to go to this Weiser-Staudacher expression, which we impose here more or less, because on this level zero mod for us, we can impose it by just to get the right solution. And then everything works very smoothly, because the rest, of course, the fusion gives us the rest of all these T functions. Then crossing is can actually, and dressing factor can be derived, really derived. And we notice that if we impose the invariance of one Y function, even one single Y function, in this expression, impose the invariance with respect to the particle of particle antiparticle transformation, we get immediately, just from all these expressions, we get immediately the Yannick's relation for crossing, and Dima Wollin recently showed how nicely to derive it directly from just solving this relation. Okay, then it's almost finished. The last comment, that it was the question. It's already the answering the question of Alodi Bajanov, that how we can use the discrete integrability. Actually, in SU2, cross SU2 principal chiral field, we can just solve it in terms of 2x2 determinants. Or, say, it would be this picture with only one row. Here we have n rows, but it would be only one in this case. So it's just a strip in symmetric representations K. The solution is just given in one in two complex functions plus some function which is not so important. You can really, starting from this, you can work out the DDV type equations very efficient way, guessing a little bit of analyticity of these solutions. And we with Pedro and Kolya managed to get all these nice graphs, the spectroscopy which I showed of lowest lying levels. It's a very efficient method. You really knock out infinite number of functions and you are left with a couple of them or finite number of them. Then for SUN principle chiral field, the work is in progress with it's essentially the solution by n by n determinants. And in a DSCFT, the same would be you should again take this T hook, as we call it, instead of fat hook, and use the determinant solutions in this half strip to by it's SU4 type determinants, 4 by 4, then SU2 type 2 by 2 like this here, and glue them by, again, by Hirota equations or by system equations along the Dynkin diagram. And this is in principle how, that's how you can use discrete integrability. Okay, then again, it's a work in progress. Now, comments. Okay, why system for all operators in ADS-CFT is constructed in functional and integral form? We tested it in weak coupling and reproduced for loop results for Konishi. Kolya will speak about it. Not solved yet in strong coupling. It's a nice problem to solve in strong coupling. I must say that a strong coupling here works like conformal limit, large energy limit for asymptotically free theory. So we should guess sort of the solution in terms of characters. It's a usual approach in conformal theories for this Y system. Okay, then probably this approximation will be available and we can compare already not numerical but exact results for the coefficients with in the talk of Rado, in the paper of Rado and Arkady. So the question is still a little question. Did we miss mu term? We think that none. Nobody sees it yet. Then what to do? I think that's the last thing. Important points which are left, in my opinion. First of all, to get Destre-De Vega equation using, in the spirit of our paper, for SU2 principle chiral field. Then derive integral Y system from functional one. Now it works in the opposite way. We get it from TBA, then act with specific operators and get functional Y system, which I presented. How to do it in the opposite way? That would be great to, I'm sure it's possible. Then, very important question. What are Ys on the Young-Mills side? All this is sigma model inspired error calculation. Everything works for sigma model, and I noticed the question in Sergei's talk about reproducing finite gap solutions, our finite gap solutions. I think it's known how to do it. It's the standard methodics, and essentially it can be reproduced. No problem. But on the gauge theory side, what does it mean, this Y system? Is it some set of word identities? What is the notion of Y in terms of planar graphs? That's, I think, a great problem. And if it's solved, I think it could shed light on ADS-CF correspondence in its complete form. Okay, then BFKL. So can we deduce BFKL from our equations? I think it's also possible. 3D, this new model, 3D super Chern-Simons, can be described in the same way. And of course, the most important question is, can we learn some lessons for QCD out of it? Of course, it's the most difficult question. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's often said that good physical theories are such theories which can be falsified, can be falsified. Can you imagine a scenario which would falsify your proposal?
My
Could you imagine some calculation or result or scenario which would falsify?
I should understand what you mean by falsify. Like you reproduce the right results with the wrong system? Or what?
No, that's somehow a good theory is one which you, in principle in physics, should be a measurement. You make some measurement. In our case, I guess some string or gauge theory calculation, which would show that these equations are not correct.
Of course. So if you manage to get this calculation from the gauge side, if you understand what is y on the gauge side and you start deriving the equations for y and it does work, of course, it will be proven that it's not the right approach. Although it's hard to imagine. If we believe in the integrability, then I think it's the only structure which can occur. Nobody saw other structures in any other integrable models but this Hirot or Y system.
My question about the analyticity. So usually in a solvable model, that's the most difficult question to answer. I can imagine a lattice model which will have exactly the same Y system, but they won't have these these square roots which
absolutely
are typical for their safety. How do you distinguish?
First of all, we of course it's case by case always, because the Y system is the same, but the analyticity properties are different for different theories. For SU2 principal chiral field, we really managed to completely fix these analytical properties. Otherwise, you cannot derive DDV type equation, and then everything is fixed. For ADS-CFT, it's much more complicated problem.
The question is it derived, or it is an assumption?
There it's again nothing. As Sergei said, everything is approximate here.
No, so, yes or no? Question, yes
but,
or no?
There we know the whole analytical structure. And, of course, we didn't derive it. What do you mean? But we compared it with everything we know, and it works precisely. But it's inspired by this discrete integrability, by the form of this discrete integrability. So it's a very rigid scheme. We hope the same will happen for ADS-CFT.
You mentioned some interdimensional Riemann surface. Is it the same as the one you have for the dressing phase? Is the Riemann surface
yes,
the same for the dressing phase?
It's the same, yes. It's the same, but again, it's always for every quantity, it will be, of course, this infinite branch Riemann surface, but on the physical plane or the mirror plane, you will have finite number of these cuts. If you dive under the cut, you will, in most of cases, you will meet infinite number of them. But I must say we don't understand well the analytical properties of Y's. We only understood them well at the large L, where we have asymptotic beta on that. Absolutely. Then if you go over to Kolya-Stock, maybe he will explain why we think that our solution is unique in this form.
You always write a finite volume beta equation for central node.
Ah, yes. But say here we only study SL2 sector, and this equation is for central node. Once you want to include more complicated excitations, other magnons, there will be a set of equations.
So how it's
following
look like?
From analyticity. This is done for SU2 principal chiral field by us. But here, of course, it's just an open field of... I must say that, that it's an open field to look for other operators.